So beginning with 1 Corinthians at chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and then we will flip over to another passage and then a third passage. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 6 to verse 8. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now turn a page over to chapter 10 at verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. I'm going on now to chapter 11 at verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Now, every month, we read most of that last portion. We read verse 23 to verse 32, and there are some things that are rather scary in it, like, "That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." So, how are we to prepare and come to the Lord's Supper? Well, God, in his mercy, has made a covenant with us. We talked about covenants this morning. How the covenant comes to establish a relationship, comes to establish trust, it comes to describe the parameters of the relationship that we are in with God. And the core of the relationship with God is this, that he is our God and we are his people. There is the relationship. He is our God and we are his people. And so when we come to worship, we're assembling before him. We're able to do this because of his covenant of grace with us. And so the worship service itself takes the shape of the covenant of grace. We are reminded of the covenant of grace. We come to praise God. We come to hear from God. We come to speak to God in our psalms and our prayers. So we come to have a dialogue with our covenant Lord. And this is all shaped by and directed by the covenant of grace. Now, this morning we talked about how when Joshua had made a covenant, then what did he do? He wrote it down, yes, and then what did he do? He set up the big rock under the famous tree so they could see it. And so God, continually, as he gives us covenants, he gives us signs of the covenant. Something that we can see, the better to remember it. It's good to have it written down in books. And all of us, in fact, can read, but for lots of history, people can't read. And even when you can read, it's still helpful to have a sign. And so the signs of the covenant are what? And there's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are the signs of the covenant. That's what we mean by the word sacrament. We say sacrament is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. So just like the rock for Joshua's covenant, or the rainbow for God's covenant with the world at the time of Noah, so we have the Lord's Supper and baptism. And the Lord's Supper itself, you can analyze as sort of a mini covenant ceremony. For one thing, we are eating before the Lord, as he has invited us to eat. But again, you can analyze it in terms of those different parts of the ancient covenants. You can say, okay, you've got the parties. Here we are. You have a very brief history of a bit of our relationship. Where did our relationship come from? All right, well, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. We have this little rehearsal of what Jesus has done for us. We have the commands, briefly. Within the Lord's Supper, we're told to take, eat, remember. And again, to drink, remember. And you might say, proclaim. The blessings and curses that go with the covenant, these are what he gets into there at the end. He talks about the curses for those who are not keeping the Lord's Supper properly. And the whole thing is a sign. The bread, the wine, the breaking, the giving, the eating, it's all sign. It's all the covenant ceremony. And the meaning is recorded in the word. So it's a sign of the covenant, and it is itself sort of a covenant ceremony unto itself. The better to be a sign of the whole thing. So, if it's a sign of the covenant, and if it functions as sort of a covenant renewal, what covenant renewal really means is relationship renewal. Because by covenant, God has brought us into relationship with himself. So when we say that the worship service in general, and the Lord's Supper in particular, is an act of covenant renewal or covenant reminder, we're talking about relationship renewal and relationship reminder. And so when we talk about preparing for the Lord's Supper, we're talking about it's a good occasion to sit down to think about your relationship with God. Now, how does one renew a relationship? Husbands and wives have to figure this out. How does one renew the relationship? Well, I think there's two main things. You figure out what the problems are and try to solve them. But you don't want to spend all of your relationship time on that. You also want to remember what attracted you to the person in the first place. That's how you renew your relationship. Figure out what the problems are and solve them. And remember why you're with this person in the first place. Now let's take that and see if it doesn't map to this. It says, let a person examine himself then. All right. If there are problems in your relationship with God, whose fault is it going to be? Well, God's perfect, so this is easy. It will be your fault. And so therefore, the examine yourself is, that's where the problem will be in the relationship. And so you examine yourself so as to repent of it. And then it goes on to say, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body. Now that's a little bit enigmatic. Whose body? Could be our body. Examine yourself, the sins you committed in the body. But I don't think it's that. I think we've already had a couple references to body in the previous paragraph, as in, this is my body, which is for you. Or, going on, we'll be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. So I think in verse 29, we're moving on from examining yourself to understanding, it's a different word there, discerning what Jesus has done in his body. That is, discerning how his body was broken and given for us at the cross. So then, what we're talking about when we say prepare for the Lord's Supper, we're saying is at some point during the preceding week, you want to take a little extra time in your devotions and examine yourself. Where is there a problem in my relationship with God? And you ought to remember why you loved him in the first place. That is, discern the body, discern Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. Now let's come back to examine yourself. You see that in verse 28. It's commanded in reference to the Lord's Supper. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. There we have self-examination commanded in reference to the Lord's Supper. Now, how do you examine yourself? Well, this is why we read the 1 Corinthians 5 passage. It speaks of Jesus, our Passover, as having been sacrificed for us. And that, of course, is what the Lord's Supper is about as well. And in connection with that, he says, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. Leaven is yeast. Leaven is yeast. And yeast is the stuff you put in your dough to make your bread rise. And God commanded the Israelites, when they remembered the Passover, when they remembered the Exodus, they were to get all the leaven out of their house for a week. Normally you want to keep a little bit of it along, around, particularly if you don't have the modern stuff that you put in the can and keep it in the fridge. You always want to have some. But for a week they had to get it all out of the house, and then the bread wouldn't rise and they would only eat crackers. And it's called matzah, and it's not very good, which is kind of the point. All right, so unleavened bread for a week at the time of Passover. You just eat crackers. You don't get to eat nice bread, because you don't have any leaven in your house. Now, what was the point of that? Why no leaven in the house for a week? Well, he gives a spiritual sense right here. He's talking about a situation in which somebody in the church is engaging in outrageous sin, and the church isn't doing a thing about it, and he's telling them, you need to put the person out of the church. Why? Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? That is, yeast has this amazing property. You put a little bit of yeast into this big lump of dough, and it works its way through, if you make it warm enough, and it makes the whole little ball get bigger and bigger. It leavens the whole lump. And he's saying sin is the same way. A little bit of sin, unaddressed, accepted, embraced in a group, begins to work its way through the whole group and infect the whole group. And the same is true for each one of us. A little leaven in the life, unrepented of, embraced, not rejected, begins to work its way through your relationship with God. So, that was a picture. And it's an ongoing picture. Get the leaven out of your house for Passover is a picture of the need to get sin out of one's life. And so when you examine yourself, one thing you're examining is yourself for sin. Where is there sin in my life? Having identified it, then you need to pray and confess it to God. Confessing it is not enough, of course. You need to be repenting of it. So you tell God your repentance. You ask him for forgiveness. But serious repentance, of course, doesn't just say, God, please forgive me. Serious repentance then also goes on to thinking about it. What am I going to do differently? How am I not going to do the same thing again next time? Or, how will I avoid the situation? So that's one thing. You examine yourself for sin in your life. Now here's something else. Have you offended a brother? Or is there a brother who is offended? I'm thinking of Jesus in Matthew 5. He says, when you bring your gift to the altar, which would be a very special worship time, they wouldn't do very often. If you're at the altar with your gift, Jesus says, and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave the gift at the altar and go be reconciled with your brother, and then come back to offer your gift. We're before the Lord in the Lord's Supper, so that also becomes something to think about during that preceding week. That's why it's good to prepare before Sunday morning, don't have much time to be reconciled to your brother by the time that we're having communion today. So it's the second thing to examine yourself. Is your brother offended? And along the same lines, are you yourself holding a grudge? Jesus says in Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have something against anyone. We know in the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our debts. It'd be kind of convenient if it stopped there, but it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As much as we forgive our debtors. To the degree that we forgive our debtors. So we must ask ourselves, am I holding a grudge? If I am, I am to give it up. I need to stand praying and forgive. If you want to renew your relationship with God, God says you will not have a good relationship with me so long as you are in a state of enmity with your brother. So before the Lord's Supper, we're to examine ourselves, but the Christian examination is not supposed to terminate on yourself. That, properly done, leads you to despair. Improperly done, it leads you to pride. So your Christian examination is not to end on yourself. Jesus came to draw us out of ourselves. So we go on to the next verse. We need to discern the body. That is, Jesus' body. So before the Lord's Supper, that is a time to remember what attracted you to Jesus in the first place. It's a time to remember what he suffered for us. The Lord's Supper, of course, it's all about the cross. And so we are to think about the cross, not just during it, but also before it, and think about how much forgiveness there is there. Examining yourself, if you do it rightly, you see some sin. You may see a lot of sin. You may see some sin that you're not getting any better at. Can God forgive you? You look at Jesus on the cross and consider who he is. And you understand that there is forgiveness for you. But will you ever get better? To consider who Jesus is, and that he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And you know that in him there is power not to continue on as you have been going. So we are to discern his body, that God came in the flesh to suffer for our sins, that he might reconcile us to God. And so we pray to him, and we ask him with the power and the wisdom and the strength and the insight and the blessing not to continue in sin. You might say that there's a secondary possible sense here of discern the body. Back in chapter 10, it said we all are one body, for we all eat of the one bread. And so in a secondary way, you might say it's also a time to think about the whole body of Christ. We talked about Hebrews 10 this morning. How when we come to church, we're to be considering one another, how to stir up to love and good works. So that can be a secondary sense here as well. Examine yourself, that is, figure out the problems in the relationship and do something about them. Repent. And discern the body, that is, remember why you are a Christian. And think about what Jesus has done. Renew your faith. This is something that a 13-year-old can do. 13-year-olds can do that. That's why about 13 is about the age when often people come and they make their vows and professions of faith and begin to eat the Lord's Supper. But 4-year-olds, not so much. Which is why, although we baptize infants, we do not give the Lord's Supper to any who are not yet of an age and of an ability and of an inclination to examine themselves and discern the body. Now, a warning. The experience of preparing for the Lord's Supper will not always feel the same. Some of you this week will sit down and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I have a little extra time here with my devotions. And you will perhaps feel God close to you. You will say, this is really good. I have needed to do this. I feel God with me as I repent. I feel refreshed as I decide on and I pray for a new course. But others of you, perhaps, may do all the same things, and it may feel flat. it may feel like you don't feel anything, like you don't feel God's presence. Or you may have first the one experience and then the other over time, as you do this month by month. What does it mean when you're doing what you're supposed to do, but you don't feel that God is there with you? I think there's two possible things it could mean. It might mean that you have some sin that you are not getting around to repenting of. It could be that you're repenting of this 5-pound sin here, and you're repenting of this 10-pound sin here, and God wants you to, he's wondering when you're going to get around to the 200-pound sin over here. That could be what's going on. But it could also be this, that God, to strengthen our faith, at one time, sometimes he gives us a sense of his presence, and at other times, to strengthen our faith, he withdraws a sense of his presence. It is to say, he strengthens us, and he tests us, he says, so, if you do not have that sense of me there, will you keep praying? Or will you turn to another God? Will you go somewhere else? Will you give up? He wants to build us in perseverance. God tests and strengthens us by giving us his presence, by withholding it for a time. He wants us to persevere, and then he gives us the sense of his presence. Again, he's always with us. And he said, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the Lord's Supper is to show us this. I'm talking merely about our subjective feelings about it, which are common and go, partially because of ourselves, and partially because God wants to strengthen us so that we would not be slaves of feeling, but truly committed to him. And the Psalms go this way. Sometimes it's, why do you hide your face, O Lord? And sometimes it is, in your presence is fullness of joy. So the Lord's Supper comes to encourage us in those flat times. It's a sign to us from the outside that God is still with us. It's a sign also that we're not to expect everything now. We're to continue this until he comes again. And so this isn't the full thing yet. It's another reason why we eat such small wafers. There you go. We are obeying the word of God. This isn't taking care of us being hungry. We are keeping our eyes on Jesus. And we are reminded that this is a foretaste of being with him forever. So how do you prepare for the Lord's Supper? In the preceding week, you set aside some time, and you work, you are renewing your relationship with God. You remove the problems by repenting of your sin. You remember who Jesus is by discerning the body. It used to be, back at the time of this banner, when it was current, and when ministers were getting killed off, and when you only had a couple ministers riding around on horses trying to catch up with everybody, that when you got the minister, you worked him to death. See, that's how it used to work. And so you'd have your minister, and you'd have him there, and you'd have him preach Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, communion on Sunday, and a follow-up service on Monday, because you might not see him again. That's called communion season. And that was a big time of communion preparation. We don't have the same necessity anymore. You can, God willing, expect to see me next week. And so we said, instead of communion once a year or twice a year, it's a good thing, let's do it monthly. But sometimes the preparation then just sort of gets washed away. So it's a good thing to prepare for the Lord's Supper. You notice here he speaks of examining yourself. You can do that during the Lord's Supper. It's also well done in the preceding week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this supper. We thank you that it is so small and simple. We thank you that we come to you, not with great artistry or effort, but simply in the way that you told us to come. And we thank you that it is a simple way. Help us, Lord. Help us in the supper to examine ourselves, and to discern your body, and to be greatly strengthened by you
by your Holy Spirit working in and through your word and sacrament to strengthen us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.